We're glad that you're here today. We're glad that everyone is here. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise be to God. Father, we thank you, Lord God, for the freedom in this place. We pray, Father God, that your Holy Spirit would be welcome truly in each heart and life. Father God, we exalt and lift up the name of Jesus and pray that you would have your way in this place, Lord. For each one that is here, for those that are coming, and for those that are on holidays, those getting ready to go back to school, and for our many that are gone off to college and university, that are getting settled in, we miss them already, Father. But Father God, we just pray that you would be strong with them, Lord, and help them in their choices, Father God, as they be a witness in the universities and colleges, Father. We give you praise this day in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for your glorious name. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are God, whether we walk in a time of plenty or whether we walk in a time of drought, whether we have an abundance or whether we have a need. Thank you that you are God and that you are the same. Thank you that you are the creator, that you are not created. Thank you that, God, that you don't need anything from us, but that you want us. You want us to partner with you. You want us to come alongside your way of doing things. Help us, Lord, when we start to put you in a box to think outside of that. Because you are so much bigger and so much greater than we are, and that you want to give us good gifts. You want to bless us in ways that we can't even fathom. Father, help us to just seek you as the limitless God.
You are not a God created by human hands. You are not a God dependent on any mortal man. You are not a God.
If you can find your hymn book, turn to the back, find those readings. Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall not hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I say to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me shall come to me, and the one whom comes to me, I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. And this is the will of him who sent me, that all that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him may have eternal life. And I myself will raise him up on the last day. The Jews, therefore, were grumbling about him because he said, I am the bread that came down out of heaven. And they were saying, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How does he now say, I have come down out of heaven? And Jesus answered and said unto them, do not grumble amongst yourselves. No one can come unto me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes unto me. Not that any man has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Truly, truly, I say unto you, he who believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. May the Lord bless the reading, the hearing of his word in his house today. I'm going to invite Sister to come up at this time. I know we haven't opened it up for testimony time today, but I'm sure that our sister will have a testimony to give.
I have done a couple of children's CDs, but I had a desire in my heart to do an adult CD as I finally grew up, because I had all these songs that the Lord has given me, I would consider adult songs. So it's my first adult CD. It's all finished and ready to be delivered any day. So I praise God for how he put it together. The whole thing was a miracle right from the beginning, because I've involved a lot of different people. We have Carol is singing on it. We have Nanda and Patricia. I have my family singing on it. Plus, we have the grandchildren speaking on it. My children, there's just a lot of, and friends from Wakefield. And so the coordination that it took to put it all together, right from the beginning, I was saying, Lord, only you can put this together. And he did. I'm pretty amazed. He did. And it's done. So, but the concert night, I'm really praying for this night that it would be, it's going to be a few songs from the CD, but also we're going to do cartoons. We're going to share the gospel. I'm going to share some of my story, my life, what the Lord means to me. And we're going to end with a prayer, an invitation to ask Jesus into our life or to draw near to him. And so I'm praying that the Lord will use it powerfully in his name. And this morning we already had opportunity to invite our neighbors to the concert. So we did the old town hall so that it would be central, and the concert's free, so there's no cost. And there's only 80 seats, though. So we're praying it'll be packed out. But most of all, that Jesus will be lifted up, because he's so wonderful. He really is. I was saying in prayer this morning, we have enjoyed the peace and the joy of knowing that we have a Savior who forgives our sins and who will hold our hand when we're hurting. And we have the hope of eternal life. We know that when this life is over, we have heaven. We have the assurance of that. But so many people out there, they don't have that. And I can't imagine living life without Jesus. And I want so much for my neighbors and friends and coworkers to know him, because he is too wonderful for words.
Changing seas is like shifting sand on the love.
In Jesus I have found a refuge from the winter storm. Oh, the storm, when dark the clouds that hinder me, by faith is moving us to see. Such knowledge is too wonderful for you. Jesus is too wonderful for words, but no.
Give the Lord a hand of praise. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory. Amen. Jesus is too wonderful. Praise God. That just goes along with what woke me up this morning. Amen. I want you to turn in your Bibles if you have them. If not, we do have some of the scriptures that are going to be on the overhead today. See, that dates me again. I call it an overhead. It's not an overhead projector. It's just one of them things. Digital projector. All right. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6 is where we're going to begin and look at the topic, which is a topic that I'm sure has touched you at some point in your life. It may even be something that you're going through right now, or somebody that is close to you is dealing with this very thing. And if you're not dealing with it now, I almost guarantee it you're going to be dealing with it sometime. It's called loneliness. Loneliness. In Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 6, we have this repeated theme where the children of Israel are about to embark on a huge venture. And Brother Moses says this, be strong, and actually God Almighty, says this, be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or tremble at them. That is to say, all of the issues you're going to be dealing with. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you. He will not fail you, nor will he forsake you. Let them in. Then Moses called to Joshua and said unto him in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous. Wait a minute, where did he get that from? He got it from Almighty God. He is just taking what God had said and he is bringing it to the people. You know, that's the way it should be in the pulpit, amen? We should be getting stuff from Almighty God and be bringing it to the people. And this is what Brother Moses did. He hears from God, and he brings it, and he repeats it to the people. He calls Joshua, and he said, in the sight of all Israel, be strong and courageous, for you shall go with us, for you shall go with this people into the land which the Lord has sworn unto their fathers to give them, and you shall give it to them as an inheritance. The Lord is the one who goes ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not fail you nor forsake you. Do not fear or be dismayed. Now, in the King James, it says, He won't leave you and he won't forsake you. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word today and pray, Father God, that it will be something that will minister to our heart and spirit. We pray, Father God, that, Lord, you will break the power of loneliness in our society, in our church, in ourselves. That, Father God, that you will allow us, Lord, to walk free, unchained, unhindered, and unfettered by that which would bring us down into discouragement, dismay, and all manner of emotional problems. Father, set us free today, Lord, and may the Spirit of the living God have his way in this church today. For we ask it in Jesus' name, and everyone would say, amen.
Amen.
Amen. It was repeated in thy habit, and this next, just it's going to be hard to follow along. Thank you, sister, for being back there. But it was repeated. This was in the Guardian newspaper as a headline, "The Loneliness Epidemic." We are more connected than ever before, so why are we feeling more alone? That was the headline in the Guardian newspaper. Loneliness is a powerful emotion that can lead you down to despair, which is the next one, sister, or lead you up to a stronger relationship in the Lord. I want to repeat that because it's so strong. Loneliness is a powerful emotion that can lead you down into despair, or it can lead you up into the presence of the Lord, depending on how we respond to it. The problem is that relationships today are becoming more superficial. They're becoming less rewarding. That's a study by, I'm repeating a study by the American Psychological Association. When young people get together and hook up on the social media, the social interaction is so much less attached that even though I have 640 friends on Facebook, it does not meet my social needs. I can still be lonely and have all of these friends. I can be texting continuously, messaging, Facebooking, posting stuff, and I can be empty at the same time. There is something wrong. There is something deficient. There is something empty in our society today. In fact, it was reported on the CBC just recently that although the loneliness epidemic is hitting those between 14 and 30, that the issue of loneliness has increased in that particular generation. These ones that have friends everywhere, these ones that are on social media, it has become epidemic. It said in the study that was recently produced just this past month that loneliness has now surpassed obesity as the number one killer of young people. Because the impact emotionally, the impact physiologically by loneliness is killing our young people. We're not just talking about suicide, although that is certainly an issue that comes up. A study says this: we are social animals. I don't know if I put that up. But we are social animals. We need to feel that we belong to others and feel connected to one another. Social pain, listen to this. This is the U.S. Department of Health reporting the American Psychological Association of August the 7th. That's just fresh off the wire. Social pain is as real a sensation for us as physical pain. Now, some of you can say, I know what they're talking about. Researchers have shown that loneliness and rejection activates the same part of the brain as physical pain. So if the enemy of our souls, we that believe in Almighty God and also believe that there is a spiritual enemy out there, what do you think the enemy wants to do? If he wants to hurt you and he can't give you a swift kick in the rear end, which he'd like to do, if he can get you into loneliness, if he can get you to experience rejection, he is going to impact the same area of the brain that will produce, has the same effect, or has the same area of the brain that we experience physical pain. In other words, what I'm saying today, friends, is that loneliness hurts. Is there an amen in the house? You understand what I'm saying? Loneliness literally hurts. Rates of mortality in young people have increased by 26% because of loneliness. In the Aboriginal community, in First Nations, suicide because of loneliness has increased 600%. Wait a minute. Those isolated communities now have Wi-Fi. Those isolated communities, you know, where there is young people and have nothing to do, but now they have Netflix, now they have Wi-Fi, now they have Facebook, now they have the entire world opened up to them. You can be in, what's the name of the place your daughter is in, sister? Pekenjikum. When you say it fast, and look at it, the spelling is this long. But, you know, you can be up in the bush, you can be wherever else, and you can be online. You have all the resources of the world to your disposal. You can be gaming with somebody in China and living in back in the bush now, First Nations kids, and it is not doing anything. In fact, it is increasing the suicide rate by 600% because there's something empty about it. Taking away their traditional understanding of impacting and interacting with the earth, right? Creation. Who made this stuff? Who made creation? The Creator. And so instead of young people, Native First Nations people, in interacting with creation, interacting with the Creator, they're interacting in a social media age which is empty and is not fulfilling. That's one of the reasons why. It's not the only reason, of course, but it's one of the reasons for suicide rates. Of course, there are the usual causes. Separation, divorce, loss of a loved one, isolation from family and friends, social economic issues that bring forth loneliness. But there is a clear message to the children of Israel that is in this text of Scripture. Given by Almighty God, given by Jehovah God, that although they would face all kinds of difficult situations in the promised land, that remember, I'm going to be with you. I will never leave you nor forsake you. When you look at this text in Deuteronomy chapter 31, we're going to go to various texts this morning, but in this one particular text, a Wesleyan theologian, Adam Clark, he notes that in the original Hebrew, there are no less than five negatives in verse 8 alone. And so if I was reading it in the Hebrew, it would be like this. No, I will not leave you. No, neither will I not utterly forsake you. In other words, if you wanted to say it this way, it says, I will never, 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 never leave you. You know, when you're in the Hebrew semantics, when you repeat something a second time, it's for emphasis, it's for agreement, really. You can agree with yourself, did you know that? Saying something twice is in the Hebrew means coming into agreement and saying it twice. When you do it in the third time, it's a completion. It's a plurative. It's completion. When you say it five times, it's like, get the point, children. I'm never going to leave you. And you know that this powerful text of Scripture saying that I will never leave you, I'm going to be with you, you will never be alone again, you will never, ever, 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 I think I got it right, five, you will never be alone again. Who said that in the New Testament? Actually, it was Hebrews chapter 13. Whoever wrote Hebrews says, as God has said, and he repeated this text of Scripture, and he said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. Now, who did he say that? And he just after the next verse, he says this, Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The writer of the Hebrews indicating that Jesus being God Almighty, that this is one of his sayings, I will never leave you nor forsake you. That back in Deuteronomy, when God Almighty Jehovah said this to the children of Israel, that in God is Christ is in God, and that basically he is saying that to the children of Israel. So the writer of the Hebrews brings it forth, carries it forth into the New Testament, to the New Covenant, and says, listen, he's still saying the same thing, children. He's the same God, Jesus. Yesterday, today, and forever does not change. And he was saying it to you people way back then, and he is still saying it today. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Woo! We need to hear it. He pounds it in. Because so often we need it pounded in. Why? Because no matter who you are, no matter how spiritual you may be, no matter how affluent your situation is, you will find times of loneliness. You're not a freak if you experience loneliness. Because if you start going through the Old Testament, if you start going through the New Testament, you will find times of loneliness. The greatest of the men and women of God experienced loneliness, including a guy named, our Savior Jesus Christ the Lord. When he was in the garden of Gethsemane, when he was praying, he looked around, where are the boys? He said, guys, hang with me. Just hang with me for an hour. Could you do that? And he finds them asleep. They let him down. He was by himself. And then, of course, when he was on the cross, he was so alone that even we know that the Father turned his face, so to speak, away. When he cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Wow, that is lonely. Jesus understood what it is to be lonely. I want to take, just for the last part of this message, a situation that's happened in this country and take from that a message about loneliness. I believe there's a prophetic message about loneliness. Most of us, that'll bring us to the next, most of us celebrated the release of Pastor Sue Lim. He's the pastor of an evangelical Presbyterian church in Mississauga. I know the church. I know where the church is. They're a happening spot, I tell you. They are Holy Ghost Presbyterians, shouting Presbyterians. They are wonderful followers of Jesus. Pastor Sue Lim, if you know the story, he spent over two years, in a concentration camp in North Korea. Probably the worst place in the world, okay? With a little crackpot dictator that, you know, is always shooting off his mouth and rockets, you know, and stuff like that, and executing everybody that, you know, moves. Sue Lim was there to do humanitarian work, and of course, you know the story. He was falsely accused. He was thrown into prison, and he was recently released from captivity. He's 62 years old, but it was asked of him on the CBC, and I wrote this up here, what was your greatest challenge? And he said this, my greatest challenge was waves of overwhelming loneliness. This was in part of his message in church the first Sunday that he preached when he got back just last week. From the first day of my imprisonment to my release, I ate 2,757 meals in isolation, and I celebrated the Lord's Day in worship 130 times alone. What began as overwhelming loneliness, meant to break his spirit by his enemies, turned out to be actually a time when he really pressed into God. And I want to take from his story and from his sermon from that Sunday just three simple points about how to overcome loneliness. He said his moments of discouragement, resentment, and grumbling turned into courage, joy, and thanksgiving. The daily feeling of loneliness and isolation turned into peaceful solitude with God, is what he said. Because of all these things, I did not end up spending one single day of gloom. Out of the 2,757 days in solitary confinement, doing hard labor. He ended up in hospital, nearly died because of it three times, nearly lost his toes from frostbite and his health because of the situation there. But he said, because of these things, now I'm going to tell you what these things are. They're simple. Because of these things, what are they? Number one, what kept our brother going and what will keep us going. What will defeat loneliness is number one, prayer. Reverend Kim says this in his sermon. He said, during my 8 hours a day of hard labor, I learned what it meant to pray without ceasing. That's all he did. He said he had to dig holes 1 meter deep. I don't know what the purpose of them, and then he had to break up coal, but he had to dig holes that were 1 meter deep and 1 meter wide. It was a square, a hole in frozen ground, of course, during the winter. And he had to do that and just with his labor every day, digging a hole by himself, not allowed to be in touch with any other of the other people in the concentration camp. He was in isolation, and he had to dig holes in the cold with the same clothes that he had in the summertime he had in the wintertime. But he said the whole time, he said, I prayed. He said, I learned finally. He's 62 years old and he's a pastor, and he said, I finally learned what it means to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians, I believe, is that text. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, the Apostle Paul said this to the church. He said, pray without ceasing. They say that talking to yourself is a sign of what, dementia or insanity, I don't know, but when you're by yourself, sometimes I think the best thing, and you're struggling with loneliness, is sometimes to verbalize and confess out loud when you talk to Jesus. I have the privilege of being here in the church when Monica comes in to clean, and she talks to herself, or Jesus. I think both. I don't think she's crazy, but I hear, yes, Monica. But anyway, who's there? Who's with her? And I come in here, and there she is, and she's talking to herself the whole time. And then sometimes it's Jesus, and sometimes it's Monica. I'm not sure which, but I don't know if it's a sign of insanity. But I think that it's good. You'll never be alone if you talk to yourself, right? I think that when the enemy is trying to isolate us, we need to verbalize and confess openly and talk to the Lord. Prayer, anyways, is a two-way communication street, right? I mean, you're communicating with the Father, you're communicating with Almighty God. I think it's good sometimes, to speak it out, especially if loneliness is trying to come into your life and trying to take control and trying to press you into a corner. Speak it out. Talk to God Almighty. Talk to Him out loud. Who cares? Who hears? I think it's good. And then take times, of course, to listen to Him to speak back to you. Paul said this. He said this in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. He said, "With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit, and with this in view, be on the alert, with all perseverance and petition for all the saints." What do you pray for when you're lonely? Pray for others. When you start praying for other people in your loneliness, Pastor Lim, I should say, there's a lot of Pastor Kims as well out there in Korea, but Pastor Lim said he would pray and pray for his family. He would pray for his church. He would go through, as he was digging these meter deep holes for probably no purpose whatsoever except to keep him working, he would pray through everybody in his church that he could remember. He has about 1,000 people in his church. And he would go through the families and he would be praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. You know who the persecuted church prays for? Us. I've heard that said several times by those that are suffering under persecution in communist China and different places in the world. They pray for us. We're thinking, man, they got a hard time, and they're in jail, they're in prison, they're suffering whatever kind of things, and they're praying for us because they're concerned about us. When you focus your prayers on the body of Christ and you begin to fill your mind with the saints of God, the body, your situation begins to be not so bad. As you begin to focus on the needs of others and focus on their situations and begin to pray for others and you fill your mind with the body of Christ. Paul said this when he was in jail, when he was in prison, when he was shackled to the wall. He said, I remember you every day in prayer. You know, some people say that and you go, thank you, and you don't really believe it. Every now and then you find someone, you know it. They're praying for you. People say, I'm praying for you. They don't really mean it. But Paul meant it. Fill your mind. When you're lonely, start praying for people. Start the body of Christ. Begin to picture them. Begin to see them. Your life, your room, wherever it is, no matter whether it's a prison cell or whether it's in your little cubicle at work, you'll be able to break the loneliness. You know, loneliness is a spirit. And here's what happens when I preach sometimes. When I'm working on a topic, it's like kicking a hornet's nest. Okay? You ever do that? Are you that stupid? Anybody hear that? Well, come on. When you're a kid, you got the stick and you let's see what it does. come on. You all did that. It's like kind of, come on. Let's see what happens in that thing. Give it a little kick. Well, that's what I does when I preach, when I prepare for a sermon. I begin to... Loneliness. In this case, this week, loneliness. Begin to... And here at the church yesterday, I was in prayer, and a blanket of loneliness came on me. And I, before you realize what's happening, you're talking about it, you're confessing it, you're irritating it, and it attacks you. You kick a hornet's nest, and it's gonna come out and get you. And so as I began to focus on loneliness, a spirit of loneliness began to come over me, And I got down and depressed. I even Facebooked somebody, and said, pray for me. I'm struggling. And I couldn't understand, what is this? Until finally, Lord, what's going on? And the Lord says, you want to get set free? Here's what it feels like. Now here's what you got to do. And I began to pray. Before that, I had prayed, and it didn't make any difference. Here, okay. Now, have you ever been there? You prayed and it didn't make a difference? Or am I the only non-spiritual person in the church? No? Amen. Thank you, brother. Prayed, and nothing happened. And then I got a hold of God and got a word from God, and God said, stop praying to God about your loneliness. Stop talking to God about your loneliness and start telling your loneliness about your God. And so I said, loneliness, I'm going to tell you about my God. Woo! Hallelujah. And I began to talk about my God, and I rebuked that thing, and I felt the blanket just come off of me. And I think I needed to experience that to understand what other people are going through when they get into a dark corner of loneliness, because I don't experience it much. But that's what the Lord spoke to me. He said, you can pray and pray and pray about things, but you need to start focusing on that thing and say, loneliness, that thing that is attacking you, because it is a spiritual force, it is a darkness, it is trying to get at you, it wants to make you suffer, it wants to bring pain into your life. As I said, even through medical science, it is the same area of the brain. Satan wants to come in there and cause you pain. You start telling that loneliness to take a hike. And that's like many other things in our life, but that's how the Lord showed it to me. The second thing is the Word of God. Brother Su Lim made this request of the communist regime. It's an unusual request, and I'll tell you why. He said, can I have a Bible? Now, in almost every jail cell or every prison in North America, there are Bibles, right? I mean, in fact, many, many guys, the first time they get to read a Bible is they have to go to jail to get one. But in the dictatorship of North Korea, it is not only illegal to possess a Bible, it is a death penalty. In fact, you have seen different times on the internet, they've gotten these pictures out or these videos out of people being lined up in a stadium and shot. And their crime was they possessed a Bible. So when Brother Lim requested this, obviously they've got the Bibles, because obviously they confiscate them from the people that they shoot, you know. But he requested a Bible, and because he's a Canadian citizen, because, you know, they gave him a Bible. And it says, he said this. He said, I was able to commit 700 verses to memory, and I read through the Bible 5 times. In the 2,757 days that he was in prison. This is one of the reasons why he didn't spend one single day of gloom. Oh, he was attacked by loneliness every day. It was right there. It was snarling. It had its teeth. It had its claws ripping ready. But it was on a chain. He could hear it. He could see it. He could smell the breath out of its mouth. It was trying to devour him every day. It was right there. But the Word of God helped him to overcome. Somebody would say, how can a dead book be comfort to a living person? Well, the thing is, it's not a dead book. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 says this, for the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. And the joints and marrow, and listen to this, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Where does loneliness grab you? It gets in your mind. It gets in your heart. You know, it's an attack on your emotions. It's an attack on your mind. You begin to think things. You begin to feel things. And so the Word of God is that medicine which will attack loneliness. The last thing is worship. Number three. Now, he was by himself. But remember I said this. He said, I celebrated the Lord's Day in worship. Actually, it's more than 100. It's 130. What's the actual one? Yeah, it's in there somewhere. 130 times, I think it was. I celebrated the Lord's Day in worship 130 times. They don't believe in the Lord's Day, of course, in North Korea, but they do have one day in seven that they take as a rest day. And it just so happened that for him, that was Sunday. And so he did not have to go out and make his meter deep holes on that day. And so he said he celebrated worship on the Lord's Day 130 times alone. What does that mean, friends? It means that he stopped and he had church. That even though he was by himself, it did not stop him from having church on the Lord's Day. There was an internet posting about a church in Houston, Texas. As you know, Houston, Texas has been underwater and is being set free from being underwater. But this church that had a watermark on its wall about 4 feet high where the water was, it said, if I can quote it from memory, it said, it won't be church as usual this Sunday, but it'll still be church. The pews may be a little soggy. There's some stubborn folks in Texas. He said, it doesn't matter if the pew's soaking wet, we're going to have church. Because it's the Lord's Day, and I'm going to be in the house of God. I'm not going to let this and that distract me. It's the Lord's Day. And if, as Brother Lim says, listen, if I'm in a prison cell and I'm by myself and there's a guard with a machine gun looking over me, so what? I'm going to have church. Because I need my communion with God. It says that he said this. He said he composed 5 new Korean hymns. Although he was not allowed to write anything down and he was not allowed to speak out loud because he had to be at silence at all times. So in his mind, he composed 5 hymns, the music, the words, and on Sunday mornings, he would worship the Lord sitting there quietly in his brain singing. And he is now introducing those 5 hymns, he calls them the prison hymns. He's now introducing them to his congregation. He composed worship. He sang a new song. You know, and he's there by himself and he's quiet and the guards don't know why the big smile on his face because the Lord just gave him a new song. Hallelujah. Just like Sister Bonnie there. But she shouts when she does that. But he wasn't allowed to shout. But he just got a new song. Hallelujah. And he began to rehearse it and rehearse it again. And for 130 Sundays, he had worship with his new hymns that God downloaded into him as special hymns for imprisonment. That's why he didn't lose his mind. That's why he did not spend one single day in gloom. You know, praise be to God that we have the body of Christ. Thank God we have each other. I don't want to be in a situation where I'm thrown in a prison cell and I've left for 2,257 days by myself. I don't like that. I like being with the body of Christ. I like being with the people of God. But God wants us to be in communion with Him first. And then the second thing is He wants us to be in communion with one another. The writer of the Hebrews, some of the people were having a hard time. They were beginning, because of persecution, because of fear of what might happen to them, they began to quit going to church. And he said this, and you know, we call it church, but it was just getting together with the believer. And not necessarily Sunday morning, the holy hour between 10:30 and 12, but any time getting together with the believers. And so the writer of the Hebrews in chapter 10, he responded to this. He says, do not forsake the assembling together of yourselves, as has been the custom of some. He says, but such the more as you see the day approaching. In other words, he says, listen, when the world gets worse, the people need to get close. You hear what I'm saying? The worse it is, the more difficult it is, the more challenges you face, the more walls you come up against, the more we need to press in together. Don't allow Satan's tactic to break you up, to scatter you, to send you one direction, another brother and sister another direction, so that you have no contact with them. And I'm not talking about Facebook or online. But I'm talking about having that sweet fellowship one with another, spirit to spirit. That's what the enemy wants. He wants to break apart. God wants to put together. Don't use prison as an excuse. Don't use a hurricane as an excuse. The only good excuse is death. And friends, if you're dead, you're in a better church service today anyways. Hallelujah! So, but while you're here, the way to get rid of loneliness is to respond to a dinner invitation. What am I saying? Well, Jesus, through with the disciples, he said this. He invited them to come and he gave them a dinner invitation. They came and they celebrated the Lord's Supper. And he says to us today, he gives us the opportunity to come and gather around his table to celebrate the Lord's Supper. Jesus gives a supper invitation. Isn't it nice when somebody invites you over to their place for supper? Especially if it's me getting invited. You know, I love to be invited. Eat at most of your places. Hallelujah. Can't you see? I have. I love to take up the invitation of eating and fellowshipping. Why? Because it's healthy for the body of Jesus Christ. But Jesus gives an invitation to us all, and we regularly celebrate this invitation. On the night which Jesus was betrayed, he did take bread, and he did take wine, and he broke the bread, and he had this celebration of the Lord's Supper, which he now has given to his church as one of our ordinances, and he now continues to invite us as a body of Christ to take and come from wherever your busy life has taken you this week or this past month or this past year or wherever it may have been, and to cause you to gather together and come and celebrate the Lord's Supper. He said that the communion table is a unique time where we gather together and we focus on not our own issues, but on what Christ has done for us. He says to remember. Remember that Jesus' blood was shed for your sins. He took the cup after supper. He took the cup in the supper and he said, this is my blood, which was shed for you. He took the bread and he broke it and saying, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. It's also an opportunity, the Lord's Supper is an opportunity for us to come together and celebrate the church. What do you mean the church? Well, it's in the body of Christ. It's the elders. It's the body of Christ that celebrates the Lord's Supper together. And so we celebrate together the Lord's Supper. We celebrate together what Christ has done for us. You can sit down, Josiah. Have a good time. You want to have communion now? Okay, have a seat. There you go. That's good. Pastor Dan's going to come. Thought I was getting a new assistant. We're going to thank God for the bread and the wine today. And it doesn't matter what church, if you're not from this church, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter where you've come from this week or your situation. It's between you and the Lord. That's one part of communion. that relationship. But then as we share together, as the church gives communion, it strengthens this relationship. And if you have struggled with loneliness this week, if you've struggled at all, if that's something that is an issue in your life, and we talked about prayer and we've talked about the Word of God, but as we give out the broken body, as we give out that which symbolizes the blood of Jesus Christ, we're giving the medicine to defeat loneliness. The medicine to defeat loneliness is going back to Deuteronomy 31, where God Almighty, repeated through Jesus Christ, says, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And as we eat the bread and as we drink the cup, we literally have that sensation of something coming into us. For from the Roman Catholic tradition or High Anglican, we have that sensation of literally the body of Christ. But in this memorial feast, as we celebrate it, it still has an impact. It still has that sensation that this is real, that Jesus is solid, that He's really with us, and He becomes part of us as we drink and as we eat. Those which are symbols become part of us. And so literally, the communion table is a sign and symbol of being united with Christ. He will never leave you. He will never forsake you. And so He invites you to come to His table. Don't care what church you come from or if you go to church. Because right now, you can get prepared to receive. Because right now, you can ask Christ to deal with you. In the text description, 1 Corinthians, Paul the Apostle, he talks about dealing with our sin when we come together for the communion table. And so the first prayer that we have, and we do, if you're visiting with us, we do communion different every time practically. So don't say, well, that's the way they do it. We do it differently. Sometimes we come forward, sometimes we send it out because we're kind of interdenominational. So we do all the different styles. But one thing is we need to do, and that is to build this communion first. Then we'll share together the bread and the wine. So would you pray together with me? Let's seek the Lord. Almighty God, Lord, we confess our sins. Lord, we have not always done what we should have done. Lord, there have been times of where actually we have rebelled against your law. We ask forgiveness. There are times, Lord, where we have not been conscious of the needs of others and we've been so caught up in our own deal that we forgot about our neighbor down the road. Father, forgive us. Lord, there have been times when we have judged others when we had no right to do it. Father, we ask your forgiveness. Lord, there have been times when we've kept tight the things that you said let go of. Lord, forgive us. Father, we have not loved the way you would want us to love. And we ask, Lord, forgive us. Father, we ask, Lord God, these things, knowing that, Lord, you do forgive. Lord, we thank you, Father God, for the opportunity, the invitation that you gave to us to draw close to you. Thank you, Lord, that you never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord, for washing our sins away. Thank you for healing us today. Lord, we receive your forgiveness today. And on behalf, Lord, of the leadership of this church, Father, I kneel between the people and the altar. I say, Lord, if this church has offended you in any way, if we have not done the things as a church that we should have done, if we have been neglectful in any way in our duties in this community, Father, then, Lord, I seek your forgiveness. In Jesus' name. Pastor Dan is going to give thanks for the bread and the cup together today. Yes, Father. We're going to stand. Pastor Dan and I are going to stand. There's this smaller group today. So just as we'll just stay here, or maybe we'll get here, give you more room, Pastor, if we could do that. And as you come, we'll just invite you all to stand at this time. Everyone is welcome here. As I said, again, I emphasize, it doesn't matter what your church background is. The Lord invites you to come and receive the medicine that you need today. In Christ's name.
As we break this bread, as we drink this cup,
body of Christ
Lord,
broken for you,
remember
blood shed for you,
how you gave your
body of Christ broken for you. I guess you do need to come down a bit. Christ's body broken for you. Precious blood. Body of Christ. His shed blood. Fellowship we share in his body. Fellowship we
come in.
All that we need. Grounded. Body of Christ.
God's perfect justice.
Drink and eat, remembering his sacrifice.
Mercy's embrace.
Christ's body broken, his blood shed. Body of Christ broken, his blood that was shed for you. Take and eat and drink. Body of Christ broken for you, his blood shed for all that we need.
At the cross I bear my where your blood was shed for me, there's no greater love than this. You have overcome the grave, your glory fills the highest place. What can separate
you? Stand for the word of benediction. Now may the grace, mercy, and peace of God our Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost rest and abide upon each one of you, giving you strength to live the life that he's called you to live. Go forth and be blessed.